the city lights don't shine. I live my life the simple way, and you know I'm doing just fine. I fish, I hunt, and I shoot my guns, and I raise a little hell. The things I do, you know I do them well. This is my America, and I'm so proud. And I don't mind, I say it loud. This is my America, God bless America, land of the free, because of the brave. This is my America.
And that is local singer-songwriter Buck Allen. And we thank Buck for letting us use his songs for our introduction here on Armed Alabama. If you are just now tuning into the show or have just started listening to the show recently, of course, this is Armed Alabama, and I'm Adam Strange. I hold 11 different certifications, including handgun, shotgun, patrol rifle, NRA law enforcement instructor certifications, and, of course, we have with us every show is retired Judge Rusty Johnson.
I retired as a child. And in addition to being a judge for 18 years, I ran the court police, but more particularly to this program, I'm also an NRA certified pistol and revolver instructor, personal safety. Anyway, three or four.
Defense inside and outside.
Yeah,
home.
There you go.
Lots of good stuff.
Yeah, there you go. But I have a lot of common sense because I saw so many crimes via trials that, you know, you kind of pick up how people break into houses, how people react to crime.
Oh, you're absolutely
it's
right.
It's just invaluable.
That gives you a unique perspective above all others, I think, to talk about crime and its impact.
Right.
And, of course, Armed Alabama is – we talk about self-defense, firearm ammo selection, home protection, concealed carry, training, proper range etiquette, and Alabama, Mississippi, Florida law, which includes our listenership area along the Gulf Coast, and we discuss federal law. If you got a comment or a question that you'd like for us to get to tonight, you can give us a call here at the studio, 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. You can call or you can text your comment or question to that same number. And also want to remind you that we are broadcasting live not only on FM Talk 106.5 studio here, but we are also simulcasting on Facebook. So go to our Facebook page, Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5, and please like and save our Facebook page, and that way you'll be notified every time that we go live or make a new post or what have you. We're also on other social media platforms, and as YouTube, we have a channel there, just simply Armed Alabama, and we have a Twitter account as Armed Alabama 106.5.
I hate Twitter. Probably from being a lawyer, but it's hard for me to write things very, you know, it'll take me 16 pages to say good morning.
Yeah.
And whether they have 60 characters or 50, I finally figured out what you can do, Adam, is put what you want to say, like on a PowerPoint slide, turn the PowerPoint slide into a photograph, and then you can hundreds, whatever you can put on that slide. So.
And of course, we've got a great show for you tonight, including Congressman Bradley Byrne is going to join us. As a matter of fact, Judge, he is already
great
on the line. So let's go ahead and go to Congressman Bradley Byrne. So glad you could join us here tonight on Armed Alabama Radio.
Yeah, gentlemen, it's great to be with you, too.
Hey, Bradley, are you calling us from the swamp or are you down here?
No, well, I'm actually not far from a swamp, but it's an Alabama swamp.
Okay, well, that's all right. It just has alligators and cottonmouths in it, not the dangerous animals.
That's right. The dangerous ones are up in the swamp in D.C.
Right. Well, I guess even though you didn't have a vote, I heard you speak out on the Kavanaugh thing, and that was just so disgraceful, the way that man was treated. I mean, nobody should be treated that way.
Well, here's my big concern. I'm concerned for him and his family, but the way he was treated, what is that going to do about us getting good people in the future who are going to want to step forward?
Absolutely.
Knowing they're going to be put through that, because if they'll do it to him, they'll do it to anybody.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, people are willing, you know, you take a lot with those kind of jobs, like I know, but to think that you also might face baseless accusations from high school, it's just unbelievable.
Well, I mean, some of it just got to be silly. I mean, somebody said he threw ice at a bar.
One time during college, remember those little poppers they used to call them? They were little tissues that, I don't know, had gunpowder. You could throw them on the ground, they'd pop. I mean, it's nothing to them, but I remember during Mardi Gras, a friend of mine and I, a bunch of us were downtown, and I probably had too much drink, and I threw one of those and hit my friend's face and popped on his face. So that rules me out.
And you ran for public office.
That's right. But, well, yeah, that's just the whole thing, and that creepy guy from California, the attorney for the woman that's suing Trump. I mean, oh, it was just ridiculous.
Oh, Avenatti.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, in the end, I think he's probably going to help us. But, you know, we hate to get helped by hurting people like they did. Well, Bradley, what's your prediction on the House, well, and the Senate?
Well, let's start with the Senate. I think we're actually going to pick up a couple of Republican seats in the Senate net. The polls have turned around in several of those races as a result of the whole fracas around Judge Kavanaugh. And it actually is helping us in some of our House races, because we had a little problem with intensity among Republicans, and the Kavanaugh debacle actually has solved intensity for Republicans, because they're pretty intensely angry right now, as we all are. So reports of the demise of the Republican majority in House are greatly exaggerated.
Yeah.
I'm actually hopeful at this point in time.
You know, Drudge has been running a lot of stories, too, that, you know, it's not looking good, and it's kind of irritating, because he could link to other sources showing it is looking good.
Well, there's, you know, depends on what polls you're looking at.
Yeah.
Now, I don't necessarily trust polls that they put in the news media. So
right.
I've been calling my colleagues, you know, who are up for election.
Yeah, they pay for the polls, yeah.
And I'm listening to their polls, because those are the polls. That's the real thing.
Right.
And we've gotten some good poll results. My friend Andy Barr is up in his poll in Kentucky, and that's been a tough race for us. My friend Carlos Cabello down there in Miami is up in his polls, and that's another tough race for us. So we know that we're in the hunt in a lot of these races, but they're so close, and there's so many of them that are so close, that it does give everybody heartburn. But we've got good people out there running, good candidates, good incumbents that are running, and I'm hopeful at this point.
Great. Adam?
Congressman, I had a chance to meet with you and some of the individuals from your office, and one of the things that struck me so much was your conversation regarding Mobile, South Alabama, and the prospects for the future.
Oh, I am very bullish for where we are in Alabama right now, and particularly in the southwestern part of the state. I mean, things are going great right now. They don't seem to be letting up, and I just feel like we're in a golden age, and a golden age is going to last for a long time here. The thing that really makes me hopeful is I'm seeing young people, like my own children, who are moving back to Mobile, getting their careers going, starting families. And when you see that, when the young people are coming back, that's a great sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that you were discussing, and you may not be want to discuss it in detail today, but I'll definitely give you an option, was you were referring to the port reconstruction or expansion, the bridge, and the synergies that go along with that, and of course with the aerospace expansion here at Brooklyn and within Mobile.
Oh yeah, no, I'm happy to talk about all of that.
Okay, Bradley, could you gather your thoughts and let us take a hard break here? We'll be back with you in about 2 minutes. Can you stay that long?
Sure.
Good. Hold on.
Heard a guy who claims that he just don't believe in fighting, and I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. And when they're running down our country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
I like you, Philip. But be assured, bite my hand, and I will put you down. Your division is in charge of native crime. Or would you rather I was in charge of native crime? I don't think you'd like my methods.
All right, welcome back to Armed Alabama, and we still have on the line with us Congressman Bradley Byrne. Thank you so much for hanging with us through the break, Congressman.
Happy to do it.
Congressman, let me ask you a question. It seemed to me, you know, listen, I love protesters, and when the Democrats were in charge in the 80s, I was in some protests, but they were respectful, peaceful, and what these professionals seemed to do to the House and Senate just was beyond the pale. I mean, shouldn't the Capitol Police be told to arrest all those people?
Well, the Capitol Police have a rule that's kind of like three strikes before, you know, they'll do anything. And, of course, these protesters are, as you say, professionals.
Yeah.
And they know how to play the system. But, you know, it's okay to be the loyal opposition. We've all been in the loyal opposition on our side. But there's a difference between being in the loyal opposition and being the resistance.
Right.
And they call themselves the resistance, and they are acting that way, and that is bad for the country.
Oh, it is. And, you know, what they're going to do if there are ever any 5-4 votes that Kavanaugh, you know, is in the majority, they're going to claim it's an illegitimate ruling. It's really bad. They're going to do to him what they did to Trump. But, Bradley, what I'm hoping will happen is it will make Kavanaugh so solid, just like it made Justice Thomas so solid when he was attacked so viciously.
Oh, I'm not worried about Judge Kavanaugh's performance on the court. I think he is who he is, and he's going to be a solid vote on the issues that matter. And I think he has the ability to wipe out what just happened to him and for purposes of his making his rulings, and we'll get him just as good as we would have had before. Look, I heard somebody say today, some Democrats say, well, there will always be an asterisk by his name. And I wanted to say, show me where in the Constitution it says that there's an asterisk by your name.
I know.
You're on the Supreme Court. You're on the Supreme Court. Your vote is just as good as everybody else's.
That's right.
That's just nonsense when they say stuff like that.
I know. Well, you know, you're right. It hurts the country when they start talking like that. It helps to delegitimize the government. And we need people learning about our form of government, believing in it, and not, you know, claiming everybody they don't like is evil or cheating or whatever they claim.
Look, I have friends that are Democrats in the House, and we talk all the time, and we get along well personally. But we disagree on policy, and there is a way for you to respectfully disagree on policy and still be able to get along on a personal basis.
Right.
And if we start losing that, we lose the ability for this representative form of government we got to actually work. So I'm going to continue in my way I conduct myself to avoid that sort of behavior. But as I say, if they're going to call themselves the resistance and act that way, will make it pretty tough on people like me.
Well, that's right. In this business of some of the Democrat leaders advising these mobs to harass people in restaurants, so there's a point where you're violating some of the Federal Civil Rights Act and conspiracy because you're organizing, you know, people that are violating people's constitutional rights. And, you know, it'd be one thing if it was one big vote coming up. But this is just because they are allied with the Republicans.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, there's, you know, this vote's over. There's going to be there are other big votes coming up, and people are going to get agitated. Of course, they're being agitated by people. Sometimes it's people in the liberal news media. Sometimes it's other folks. and they're almost being pushed out to do these things.
Yes.
Yeah. What I say to my Democratic friends is, look, you have a right to your opinion, and I respect your opinion. You know, please express yourself. But let's understand we all have a responsibility for how we express ourselves, and that we do so with all the passion that we've got about our issues. At the same time, we keep our passion enough in check where we show respect for the people that are disagreeing with us.
Right.
Look, I do town hall meetings all the time, and I don't have any filter on who comes to my town hall meeting.
Yeah.
You can show up if you're the most liberal Democrat in my district, and I'll let you say whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
The only rule I have in my town hall meetings is that we'll all respect one another. And
there
I gotta
you go.
Tell you, for the most part, people do.
And Bradley, I did the same thing, but you know, you have to ask criminals before you sentence them, you know, you have anything to say. And listen, I'd let them talk 30 minutes as long as they weren't cursing or incivil. If they were respectful, you know, because a lot of times it's a catharsis at that point. But, you know, be respectful and you can have the floor.
Absolutely. I mean, but we've lost the ability to respect one another. Anybody who's read anything about Judge Kavanaugh and his background, even if you were the most liberal of Democrats, you would have to respect his background. Just,
right.
I don't agree with Justice Ginsburg about hardly anything.
Right.
But I respect her background.
Right.
I respect where she's coming from. I respect how she's prepared herself in her professional life.
Right.
We ought to be able to do that on these court nominations without them becoming a circus. This became a circus, and I'm worried that that's the way it's going to be from here on out, which is not good for the country and not good for the court.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. Who wants to put their name, you know, even if you're qualified, the president wants you, who wants to go through that?
Well, if you're somebody at Judge Kavanaugh's level, he could be out of the private practice of law making $1 million.
Yeah.
Not having to put himself and his family through this.
Yeah.
So if you're in that position, why would you put yourself through it unless you just love your country, you
absolutely.
Love the law?
And if they had done anything worse and he hadn't gotten approved, he may have been, you know, basically hounded out of his present position. So he had a lot going on that.
Well, people say he went too far in his testimony. Look, you backed the man up against the wall. You challenged everything about his integrity and what he's built himself to be during his life. Yeah, he came out and defended himself. You know what? That makes him more qualified
Me?
For that position than
Amen.
My judgment.
Bradley, I thought to myself, had Jeff Sessions done the same thing back in 86, he would be retiring from the federal court right now.
You may be right.
You know, because
you may be right.
People kind of advised him, well, just take it, you know. Well, boy, it shows you got a backbone when I'm not going to let my honor be impugned anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I just got to tell you, I'm not sure that I would have had as much respect for him if he hadn't fought back.
Absolutely.
He fought back like any one of us would have fought back with those sort of scurrilous charges against him. And I don't have one bit of problem with the way that he testified. He's not going to act that way on the court. We all know that.
Especially in an appellate court, you know, judicial temperament really applies in a trial court. And, you know, an appellate court, you're just not dealing with, you know, pro se litigants and all this. So,
no.
And he's got a lot of competition.
Well, I think people were charged by his by his statements, by his attitude with that. I think he was forceful, but you can see the passion in him. And you can see that I think, honestly, that he was hurt. I couldn't tell you how many phone calls and emails and text messages we've got from women and from individuals that were really just appalled by the conduct and that was shown to Justice Kavanaugh during that hearings, whether it be the protesters or the senators themselves and the lack of decorum.
Well, most of the phone calls that we've gotten for Judge Kavanaugh were from women. In fact, some of the women called were pretty darn forceful about people like me needing to stand up, like, why aren't you standing up for this good man? And I heard that, and I agree with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a woman called up, and I swear I could hear the voice of my mother talking. You know, I brought you up to be stronger than this, stand up and defend this man.
Yeah.
So I think any fair-minded person could see through what was going on here. Now, I'm not saying that Dr. Ford didn't have something happen to her in her life. I believe she did. But she was used
absolutely,
by operatives in the Democratic Party in their last gasp effort to stop Judge Kavanaugh, and thank God it failed.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. What are people on the phone want to talk to Congressman Byrne, or they want to talk about something?
I don't know. Maybe we can get to them after the break.
Before we go to the break, let me remind you that the law office of Steve Moore is one of the sponsors on this program. They do personal injury work here in Mobile. Steve's a good friend of mine. They're 8 North Dearborn Street in Mobile. And you can call them at 251-445-7602 or visit them on the web at moorelawfirm-al.com. And, Congressman, can you hang on through the break or do you need to run?
I can hang on through the break.
Okay, good. Wonderful. We'll check these callers out. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
I remember, things look bad. It looks like you're not going to make it. And you got to get mean. I mean plumb mad dog mean. Because if you lose your head and you give up, then you neither live nor win. That's just the way it is.
That is absolutely my favorite quote from a movie.
Adam, let me mention to everybody, if you want to know about what the presumption of innocence means and beyond a reasonable doubt, all of that, I've got a, just like a lawyer, Bradley, a very, probably too long written article on the Facebook page. You can see it pretty quickly.
Congressman, thank you for waiting through the break. So we'll ask you a question earlier, and we had to go to break. I didn't get a chance to follow up on it, and that was the question regarding the everything that really I think is just amazing that's going on in the Mobile and Alabama Gulf Coast and South Alabama is the synergies between the port expansion, the bridge, the aerospace developments within Brooklyn and in Mobile itself. You commented on that the last time I heard you speak, and I thought it was pretty amazing, and it's exciting.
It's very exciting. We will, at the same time, complete, just about the same time, three big projects in Mobile. One is the deepening and widening of the Mobile Ship Channel so we can get more of these larger ships in, container ships.
Yeah.
The Mobile port was the fastest growing port in the country in 2016. Again in 2017, is on track to be the fastest growing port in the country this year. So that's a big deal. About the same time, we will complete the Interstate 10 bridge and the new spans across Mobile Bay. It will be the second or third tallest bridge in the country, about a $2 billion project. And if you saw all the people crowding from the panhandle trying to get on the westbound lane through Mobile this morning, yeah, you know how desperately that's needed. And then the third project is the continued development of Brooklyn Aerospace Complex, where we have both the Airbus facility now opening, this Bombardier, it's Canadian company facility. We have some ongoing work there with ST Aerospace and Continental Motors, and a host of suppliers coming there. And at the same time, that's growing at maximum pace. We'll be moving the airport from regional out to Brooklyn. We'll have a brand new airport with all of the amenities you would expect in a new airport, closer to where a lot of people in our area live so that they won't be trailing off to Pensacola to get on an airplane. So all those things are going to happen, will come to their fruition about the same time in the next 4 to 5 years. And when you think about what that means to the Mobile economy, not just for that point in time, but for decades to come, that is very exciting. Oh,
yes, and then on top of that, Congressman, is the proposed new ships that Austal will be building. Didn't they get a contract for two more or three more vessels?
They did.
Okay.
Just a few weeks ago, they had a contract for two more littoral combat ships. So they are well positioned as they go into the future. They've got hull number 22 in the barn and about to move hull number 26 in. 26 will be the USS Mobile.
Wow.
And so that is a very exciting development for our area. But we'll be transitioning out of these littoral combat ships to the new frigates. And I think that Austal is in a great position to be the sole builder for this frigate program for the Navy. Right now, even before that, between Pascagoula and Mobile, we are building 80% of the surface fleet for the United States Navy between Pascagoula and Mobile.
Isn't that amazing? That is absolutely amazing. That's a testament to the local communities, and that's a testament to the expertise of the workers.
Yep. No question about it.
And the skill.
The Navy people love our shipyard workers because they're the best they've ever seen.
Absolutely. The skill set is unparalleled throughout the Gulf Coast. And we need to tout that not only for our local businesses, but prospective businesses as well.
Don't worry, I do.
I know you do, Congressman. I know you do. So you have an opponent in the upcoming election. You want to talk about that and then how people can volunteer or go check you out on a website or so forth?
Yeah, I have a website, Burn for Congress, and so we ask people who are interested in the campaign to go to that. And I think what we're talking about at the break is that I prefer in a race like this to work with the local party apparatus. So we're going to be working with them and other Republican candidates, primarily just to get out the vote. Now, a few weeks ago, I was concerned about having to make an extra effort to get out the vote. This Kavanaugh thing has solved that for me.
Yeah.
Our folks are plenty revved up. We're just going to make sure we make it as easy for them to get out and vote as we can. So I'm just focused on getting out the entire Republican vote, helping the entire Republican ticket, because I know that's what America needs, and I know that's what Alabama wants. So that's what I'm going to be doing, and I hope people will go to that website, Burn for Congress, and sign up, and we'll get you involved in our activities.
Yeah, that's great.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Congressman, for joining us tonight. Do you have anything that you want to say before you leave?
I just want to thank you guys for doing what you're doing. You got a lot of listeners that are coming in week after week, listening to you. I know it's not easy to get up and do all that. I also want to tell you how proud I am to be a United States citizen and how proud I am of where President Trump has taken this country. We're on the right path economically. We're on the right path security-wise. We're on the right path, period. And if the resistance will just let up a little bit and let the man do what he's trying to do, he's not only going to make America great again, he's going to keep America great for a long time to come.
Absolutely,
yeah,
because
amen.
It's just been one record after another as far as economic progress and as Ronald Reagan used to say, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Yep.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Congressman.
We'll see you
at your victory party.
Yes, sir. See you there.
Take care. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, guys, I wanted to ask you a question.
Yes.
Let me get the line clear. Did you see the piece with Ted Koppel on CNN? He was being interviewed on that network. And he told the interviewer.
I didn't watch it, but
yeah,
I saw it.
I saw it repeated. But he told him, he said, CNN needs Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Without Donald Trump, their ratings would be in the toilet.
Exactly.
And that's from Ted Koppel, who is certainly not a conservative.
Right. No question
and
about
And I think
that.
He may be right.
Now, keep in mind, we self-protection, hunting season coming up. Get to McCoy Outdoors for all your outdoor needs, guns, knives, gun equipment, sporting goods, tents, fishing, anything you can think of. They're going to have your want to get into primitive weapons with deer this year. You can get your bow down there, arrows, everything you need. McCoy Outdoors, they're on Spring Hill Avenue, just west the I-65 overpass, where K&B used to be, open Monday through Saturday. And they're good folks. Tell them that we sent you over there.
Actually, I'm going to go down there and get a Glock, Judge. I'm going to go over to the dark side.
Is this
and buy a Glock.
Weekend?
Yes.
You're not going to be allowed back here. Let's go ahead. Mike has been waiting, and LD, you hold on too. So.
Been waiting patiently. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for being with us here on Armed Alabama.
Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Okay, how you doing? I enjoy the show.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Yes, a lady friend, well, the only lady friend, gave me a really nice collectible knife the other day. And I was surprised when I read the statement on the side of the knife. And it fits this show to a T. And it says, to disarm the people is the best and most effectual way to enslave them. Now, I believe that.
Boy, that's what was the knife manufacturer, do you recall?
The knife has, it's really heavy and nice. It's a folding lockback.
Because there's a hole.
It says, my country, my rights on the front. It's got the eagle with the spreading wings,
yep.
And it's got the two rifles crossed.
Yeah.
Sort of like old military emblems and stuff I found, like, well, metal detecting over the years.
Do you know who made it, makes it?
You know what? Let's see. American Mint.
Okay.
And it says American Mint.
Because I was going to say, the knife, there's a knife group that's kind of like the NRA, and they have been really under attack, especially in New York, by the Attorney General, you know, harassing knife owners and knife manufacturers.
Right.
It's really incredible.
It's AmericanMint.com.
Mm-hmm.
And this knife is nice and heavy-duty built.
Okay,
it's
tell us again.
Junk.
Tell us again, Mike, what the inscription said.
Okay, let me get it open again. It says, to disarm the people is the best and most effectual way to enslave them.
Absolutely.
And I believe that wholeheartedly.
No question. Thank you.
I got one more.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got a question for you now. I've talked to somebody in Mississippi that was carrying their sidearm, and he said it's open carry in Mississippi. Now, is Alabama the same way?
Yeah, well, I'm in Mississippi. I'm not sure of. In Alabama, as long as you don't have your firearm concealed, you can carry it, but there's some caveats. You can't ride around in a car without a permit. So that kind of, you know, once you put that, as far as you can walk, you can have it, and as long as it's not covered up. The concealed is the crime, carrying a concealed
weapon. Okay, now, if you have a concealed carry permit,
yeah,
does that change things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can carry it anywhere then that the law doesn't prohibit you from carrying it. And, you know, they're not, you know, all the federal buildings, of course. Of course, the post office, courthouse.
How about the library?
Yeah. But, no, you can carry it in the library.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get off here and let somebody else talk.
You.
Thank you, Mike.
I really enjoy your show.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Thank you for calling in.
Adam, the Roman historian Tacitus said, it is a rare fortune of these days that one may think what one likes and say what one thinks. He said that about in 70 A.D. So, you know, I mean, we've kind of got that spell now. Let's take L.D., the Mad Trucker.
How y'all doing tonight?
Hey,
all
fine.
Right.
What's up?
I just absolutely love the show. I can't wait for it to come on.
Thank you.
About liability, I know that, you know, if a police officer should pull you over and he says, do you have a handgun in the car, you have to disclose that you do or you don't, right?
Well, in Alabama, you do. Let's get a couple things straight. If it's an FBI agent that does, lying to a federal agent is a crime. Lying to the police in the state of Alabama is not a crime, and they can lie to you also. For instance, you and your brother may be involved in something. Policeman comes in and says, your brother's just confessed, so you may as well make the same deal. And, of course, none of that's happened. You don't have to tell the police that you have a firearm. Now, I would if I was asked, but you don't have to volunteer it here, and you don't have to tell them. But if you don't tell them, make sure that it's not going to be seen if you have to get out of the car or something, because that might trigger – you know, you getting shot.
Okay. That being said, am I required if I have a foot trap in my backyard that I'm trying to trap a fox? Am I required to notify any authorities that I have a weapon out in the backyard capable of doing a great harm to anybody who steps on it?
Well, your biggest danger would be, I think, civil liability from an invitee or even a trespasser that you have set up something that you can't deliberately harm anyone that even trespasses on your property. So, got to run to a break. I'll talk a little more when we get back if you'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
When you're running down our country, man, you're walking on the back inside of me. You're walking on the back inside of me. Running down a way of life, our fighting men have fought and died to keep.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
I'm looking for Josie Wales. That'd be me. You're wanted, Wales.
I reckon I'm right popular.
You a bounty hunter? Man's got to do something for a living these days. Diane ain't much of a living boy.
All right, welcome back to Armed Alabama.
Adam, on his question about the traps, it sounds like he's trapping this, whatever, fox or whatever, because it's a nuisance, and he's not a trapper.
Yeah, he didn't say if he had chickens or rabbits or something like that.
But if he, you know, some people are still in the trapping, you know, business or whatever. If that's the case, I mean, that requires a license. But I will tell you that Alabama law says this. This is what he was kind of interested in. Any person shall be strictly liable for civil damages who causes injury or damage to any person or domestic animal as a result of using any trap or similar device, okay, on public land. Okay, that isn't it. So under regular tort law, you got to warn people if you know people come on your property. Hey, we got a trap set in the backyard. Be careful. You know, as long as he's trapping some kind of varmint, and that's what it sounds like he's doing.
Yeah, Rusty, does that fall in the same category as somebody fixing a shotgun pointed at the front door, that if somebody opens the door, it'll automatically shoot
him? It really does,
him?
Because there's no law on the books that says – there may actually be one, but basically you can't do – you can only do – you can only use deadly force when you are personally or your family personally threatened.
Not your property.
Right, not your property. And so what you're using is some device that's using deadly force to protect your property, and you're not there. So
that put that in the bad idea file.
Yeah. I want to mention again the Steve Moore Law Firm. Personal injury needs, see them, 8 North Dearborn Street. They're Mobilians, and you can get them at 251-445-7602. Great people, Steve Moore and his law firm. And let's take Dan from Wilmer.
Good evening, Judge. Good
hey,
evening,
Dan.
Jesse.
How are you?
Doing?
Pretty good. Permit for a gun. All right.
All right. Now, I had a situation today where I had to go into a local bank to withdraw a sum of cash to get
that was yours, right?
I have a concealed carry permit.
Yep.
And I had my gun in my pocket.
Yep.
And on the door it says under statute, no weapons allowed under the Alabama statute.
That's invalid, and there's a case right on point. Unless they have most banks have a guard there, but they also have something else, like a turnstile you walk through or a magnetometer that you go through. They have anything like that? No, they don't. They're just trying to scare people, because we've got a five-year-old case that guy went into the bank. It's kind of the same thing, and the Supreme Court held that with that concealed carry permit, you can take your gun anywhere except the few places the Alabama Code mentions that you can't. And one place is if a business has 24/7 guards. It didn't say armed guard, just guards, and something else like a magnetometer. You know, that's an X-ray, metal detector, or a turnstile. They have to have something else. So it's just, you know, people put up signs.
I wasn't worried about it in the bank.
Yeah.
I was worried about it in the parking lot. Like I say, it's not a whole lot of money to most people, but it's a lot of money to me.
Listen, I've seen people killed over $20. I saw people killed over $20, so consider
exactly.
It a lot of money. No, you're fine. Just, you know, if you want to cause trouble, just ask the manager, why are you putting up signs like that? It's not valid. Look it up on the, take down the code section and look it up, and you'll see.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Because I always want to do things the right way.
Yeah, sure.
And
thank you for calling.
I need to do things the right way by me.
We hadn't talked about that in a long time, and it's good to talk about it.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. Take care. Have a good one. Adam, as you know, most of those signs you see up are phony. The law authorizes you, like I said, if you have it 24/7, you have guards and something else, like a magnetometer, an X-ray, a metal detector. Yeah, you can put up the signs. What that means is you're doing something for people's security, so they're safer inside your establishment. I don't really think they are. But after that, you can't take a you concealed carry permit and can't take a gun in a police station, a jail, you know, a lot of places you would know. And you can actually, the easiest thing is go to www.handgunlaws.us, handgunlaws, and just hit Alabama. That's probably the easiest thing to do.
It is, and there's a wealth of information there. And also, you can go to the website of the Attorney General of Alabama, and you can see a lot there. You can Google the Code of Alabama 13A. From the Attorney General's website, you can see all the states that Alabama Concealed Weapons Permit has reciprocity with.
And I usually screw this up. It's handgunlaw.us.
No, yeah, I do the same thing.
if anybody forgets it, go to our website, www.armedalabama.com. We've got links to all of that, as well as we've got archives of close to 3 years' worth of shows free to download.
So, Judge, we were talking earlier. We didn't get really a chance to talk about it as much as we want, but you were talking about defacing property or destruction of property
yep.
earlier, and that just describes Antifa.
Yep.
And, of course, we have talked at length regarding Antifa.
Why aren't they being prosecuted? That's what,
well, my thing is why is that organization, why has it not been labeled a terrorist organization?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's exactly what it is. When you have
there
the FBI.
There was trouble today in Portland, Oregon,
yes,
which is a big left-wing city. But and then what happens, at worst, they get charged with like a city ordinance violation of, you know, disturbing the peace, disorderly conduct, which is nothing. They ought to be getting prosecuted. They're conspiring to violate people's civil rights, and they ought to be prosecuted in federal court. I think it's a 10-year penalty. You want to try to sneak Kevin in here?
Yeah. Hi, Kevin. Real quick, what you got for us?
Well, I was thinking of the state of Alabama, if we could institute redo things again there. A prayer in school, and then proper gun protocol. So people, you know, whether they own a firearm or not right there, they'll know their rights there, where they can carry, things like that. But also, as far as like proper handling of a gun, in case a kid or somebody use a firearm, this is what you do, so you can be safe and everybody else can be safe as well.
If we had any common sense, that's what we'd do. Judge Scalia wanted to get to the situation where, if you know, as he was a kid in high school in the rifle club carrying his .22, nobody would call SWAT. You know.
Exactly.
I'm surprised.
And somebody stumbles across one right there instead of just being afraid of it right there.
Right.
They would know how to disarm it right there and get it to the proper people to say, I found this firearm. It's not loaded right here. Here it is, instead of people freaking out going, oh, my gosh, it's a gun.
I know.
People should feel safe with their firearms. They should also respect it as well. Just like we respect the water. You learn how to swim.
Yeah.
So something as a pro thing.
You learn how to swim, and you may not, you know, swim recreationally, but in case I fall in, you know.
Exactly. And so those are things I think we should do. And even the left shouldn't have a problem with that, you know, saying, okay, this is proper firearm protocol.
Oh, if we proposed it, they got a problem with it. They'll say we're trying to propagandize. Oh, we got to run, Kevin. Give us a call next time. We're up against our end of the show break. But thank you. Great ideas.
Yeah, schools used to have shooting teams and stuff.
They did.
You don't have that anymore.
They did.
Didn't y'all have, in one of the early shows, you had somebody from some school?
From one of the
was it archery?
They were, not trap shooting, what is it?
Yeah, it was
shooting.
It was clay pigeons and stuff.
Yeah, but what are you,
sporting clays.
It's the Spring Hill College's club. But we thank all our sponsors, particularly Hanson Heating and Air, Ward's Safes, and Hunter Security.
Foster's Chiropractic.
Steve Moore. Matt Green.
And Hanson's Heating and Air.
I already mentioned them. But we may get some cool air by weekend. Folks, we will see you next week with more of Armed Alabama. Visit our website or one of our social media platforms.